would help if it were in tune.
It's very asymmetrical. It has holes in the sides. It's curly mahogany back and sides. It has a bear claw spruce top. Bear claw used to be considered a flaw to the point that people would throw it away, and now everybody thinks it's so beautiful that they're using it on guitars. That's what it sounds like.
Artist Open House is a place where creative people in Cook County talk about their work in their own words. Not just what they do, but why, what inspires them to continue, and who may have influenced them along the way. I'm Jay Anderson. Midway up the Gunflint Trail, among the packs and canoes at Hungry Jack Outfitters, Dave Seaton builds guitars, musical works of art.
Like lots of people in the late 60s, my brother had a guitar, and I was always very jealous that he had a guitar and could play it. So when he moved out, I mucked around with his guitar and, of course, broke it. And being stupid enough to think that he wouldn't notice, I decided to glue it back together. So I fixed it, and it actually still played, and that was the first guitar that I actually played when I was probably 11 years old. My buddies were all playing electric guitar. My measly paper route money wasn't going to pay for a very good guitar, and so I was a library hound. I spent a lot of time in the public library, and I found a book, Irving Sloan's Classical Guitar Construction, which is the book that just about anybody who builds guitars now saw, also probably about the same time I did. And I thought, hey, that's really cool. I could do that. I really loved shop class at school, and I loved woodworking, and my family was not particularly into tools or anything like that. So I was really, it was an uphill battle trying to get things done. But eventually when I turned 14, my friend Dave and I decided that we were going to build two electric guitars, something way better than you could buy in the store for $169 or whatever the Encore Les Paul copy was going for in those days. So we took the bus across Minneapolis to Youngblood Lumber and bought a bunch of boards and went to Sears and bought a jigsaw and a rasp and a plane. We had a couple other saws, and Dave's dad, I think, had a drill and a router, and we proceeded to assemble two electric guitars, and they were awful. We took them down to the local music store and showed the guy there, and he said, wow, these are interesting. So I kept doing it. I, you know, took the bus back over to Youngblood Lumber and bought more wood and built more guitars. So that proceeded all through high school, and then I went to college for a while, realized that that probably wasn't going to be my path to a better life, and found out while I was delivering pizzas that there was a guitar factory 1 mile from my home, and the O'Hagan Guitar Factory in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, and I went there and said, yeah, I know how to build guitars. I'd love to work for you guys. And so I sanded finishes and buffed finishes on electric guitars for about 6 months, which was boring, but it was the coolest thing I'd ever done because it was a real job and working in a guitar factory. I ended up working in the final setup room there because they found out that I could actually do it, and did hundreds, if not thousands, of fret jobs and assembling electric guitars and doing wiring and doing all the little fine points. That's kind of where I developed the skill of how to take a raw instrument and turn it into a playable musical instrument. They went bankrupt after 3 years. I built guitars on my own for a little while, pursued a career in cabinet making, and then I, after about 5 years of that, moved up north. And I didn't touch a guitar for 10 years. I didn't play, I didn't build, I didn't think about it. I really missed playing guitar. So I thought, you know, I should go buy a guitar. I don't want to try to build one again. I'll just go buy one because they make guitars that are so nice now. And I went down to the Podium in Minneapolis where they have a lot of really, really nice acoustic guitars. And basically, it was kind of the same thing that happened when I went to Park Music and looked at the Encore Les Pauls. It's like, you know, for the amount of money that I'm going to have to spend to get the guitar I really want, I really could build one. I decided, you know, I if I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to make something that you can't buy anywhere. My wife, Nancy, one of her art professors, told her a mantra that I think is really wonderful if you're going to be an artist. You either have to do whatever it is that you're doing better than anyone has ever done it, or you have to do something completely different and original. So I thought, well, let's make a guitar that's completely original and different. Michael Monroe plays that guitar now, and he really loves it. And it sort of validated some of those weird ideas that I had floating around in my head and allowed me to go further and explore different shapes and different hole placements and different bracing and things like that. A few years ago, I was reading about a particular bracing pattern on the inside of guitars. All guitars have pieces of wood inside that support the structure and help define the tone. And there's a guy named Michael Kasha, who is an acoustical physicist in Florida, and there was a builder named Richard Schneider, and the two of them came up with this crazy scheme on how to make classical guitars sound better. Richard Schneider was the keeper of the keys of this technology, and he passed away. His apprentice, Boaz Elkayam, was the keeper of the keys now, and if you wanted to learn about it, this is who you went to see. I saw that he was giving seminars, and I thought, okay, we're going to go on vacation in San Diego, so he's in Mexico. I can go to Mexico for a little while and see him and then join the family. So I emailed him, and he said, yeah, you can fly right into Tel Aviv. And I said, Tel Aviv? I thought you were in Ensenada. No, I'm in Galilee, actually, but you can fly to Tel Aviv. I just thought, well, this is the guy, and this is where I can learn about it. So I went to Israel. I studied with Boaz. I stayed on a kibbutz in near the Sea of Galilee in a town called Safat. You know, it was he and I working one-on-one in a shop for about 10 days, and it was really, really educational. I learned an awful lot. I also learned that he's kind of winging it too. And the last thing that he told me after we got done was that you'll figure out your way to make this work too.
Luthier Dave Seaton. For Artist Open House, I'm Jay Anderson. Artist Open House is a production of WTIP News with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.